Jubilee is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." Thus far the text. Well, just like Christmas, while the world has moved on, Christians are still celebrating Easter. Christ is risen. This is the fourth week of Easter, historically known as Jubilee. Whether the worldly punchers of the cultural time clock want to agree or not, Christians plan on keeping this part of Christ's life in proclamation for another 3 weeks. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. In spite of his resurrection, our Lord Jesus Christ has not surrendered his humanity. He didn't suddenly become a spirit or an angel any more than you will when you are resurrected. In fact, the risen Jesus shows you what you're meant to be. And so, even as he remains in eternity, he still remains in time. And time becomes a major topic in the words of our Lord to his disciples shortly before his time was to come. Words he speaks anew to you. Even as you look back on his crucifixion with the hindsight of the resurrection, for you live in time. Your finite minds cannot conceive of not being limited by space and time. You have no rational way to comprehend eternity. The problem is compounded by your fallen nature, for to a sinner, time takes on a new meaning. While 15 minutes of recess seems like a blink of an eye, waiting 15 minutes for the principal to arrive after you've been sent to his office seems like an hour or two. While parents watch their children grow from infants into adults in what seems only a span of a few years, 18 years in the life of a prisoner in captivity can seem like a dozen lifetimes. While Jesus, being God, is not only eternal and the master of time, indeed being its maker, he willingly lives in time, even as he knows that man's conception of time is quite different than God's. Time is often not your friend. Every day that goes by, you are a step closer to death. Your bodies wear out. Time seems to slip away quicker and quicker the older that you get. To the elderly, the lonely, and the ailing, which is pretty much everyone, time can sometimes be a prison. A dull existence of isolation and pain with no apparent hope of improvement. Our Lord speaks of such isolation, pain, doubt, and fear when he gently warns the disciples of what is going to happen to him and to them. "A little while and you will not see me." He has just told them of his impending departure and that he would send them the Holy Spirit. And yet the part that is most baffling to the disciples is this little while business. They cry out in frustration, "We don't know what he's saying." our Lord in his mercy explains, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy. Then this little while of lamentation, of separation from the Lord, Christ compares to a mother giving birth. But when all is said and done, the most memorable thing about the act of giving birth is not hours and hours of pain and anguish, but rather the joy that a human being has been born into the world. What seemed to have been an eternity during the suffering and travail is remembered in light of the miracle of life as only a little while. Even as the joy of our Lord's birth followed thousands of years of anguish, the Church of the New Testament was birthed in such a circumstance. Though the tiny band of unsteady followers of our Lord fled, even as their master was brutally assassinated and publicly humiliated, this birth pang was only to be a little while. That long night of doubt, guilt, anger, confusion, and depression that raged on that Good Friday was only to last a little while. It would yield to the Church's centuries of Easter joy, even as your little while in this fallen world, in this mortal flesh, in this veil of tears, will give way to eternal paradise and triumph beyond measure through faith in the merits of Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. For what seems to be a long time to you, this waiting for the Lord to restore paradise lost, to finally destroy the foe that he defeated nearly 2,000 years ago, to transfigure your lowly, death-ridden bodies into what they were always meant to be. It is, in fact, a little while. Receive great comfort in those two little words from the Lord. Trust in the sure word of God when he promises that what seems like ages to you is indeed but a little while. For the completion of the great heavenly feast, the victory celebration of all the universe, the reunion of the Lord's beloved people with their departed brothers and sisters from every time and place who were fully sated through repentant faith in Christ, that reunion is as inevitable as was our Lord's victorious resurrection. The darkness of Good Friday marked the beginning of a new Sabbath rest, a new sixth day finishing of God's new creative work. Was but a little while to the great paschal victory on Sunday morning. Dear friends, it will be but a little while before you are plucked from the prison of time and set fully free from yourselves of sin and the captivity of the grave. Even as you struggle with sin, sickness, loneliness, disease, and death, even as your families can be at each other's necks, in tatters, your dreams up in smoke, your finances shaking, your futures uncertain, your bodies afflicted with pain, your souls tormented by temptations and assaults of the evil one, your days filled with lamentation, and your nights tormented with frightful dreams, you have Taylor series, By Grace Alone, because of the merits of Christ Jesus for you alone, through God created faith alone. Although the Lord says, therefore you now have sorrow, he continues, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Notice he does not say, might see you again, or may see you again, but will see you again. Dear repentant and believing baptized children of the Heavenly Father, listen to the promise of Jesus, for he is speaking it to you right now, in time and space. It is not a promise to be tossed aside to someone else. It is a promise for everyone within earshot of this pulpit. It is a promise made directly to you. It is not an idle speculation or a prediction of a forecaster. It is a declaration, a done deal, an ironclad oath uttered by the lips of the living God. Hear him. Hear, believe, and rejoice. For he says unequivocally, your joy no one will take from you. The Lord is bringing to your ears not some unrealistic existence in a white robe on a cartoonish cloud with a harp. He's bringing to you unbridled joy, a removal of all evil, of all pain, of all disease, and of all death. He's rescuing you by pointing you through himself, through his crucifixion and resurrection. He's bringing you to receive the gifts Christ freely gives, mounting you up with wings like eagles, bringing you to be as pure as he is, returning you to the way of righteousness. He is promising you everything you truly need through himself, so as to fill you with joy. He has already given you new life that cannot be contained by a grave or held captive by time. For by faith, you too live both here in time and there in eternity through him who does the same. Even as you live in this little while before full eternity, stuck in time and wrestling with sin, he brings you to cling to his promises. By dying and living through the merits of Christ Jesus, he brings you to jubilate. Indeed, by the words of the introit, sung from Psalm 66, prayers that he gives his saints to lift back to him. The Lord himself says it best, and we join in with him. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. Through the greatness of thy power, thine enemies shall submit themselves to thee. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing toward the sons of men. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Alleluia. Christ is risen.